"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
You can, of course, hear the show live between 1 and 4, but if that doesn't work for your schedule, you can pick it up on demand sometime right after 4 o'clock at KFIAM640.com and also, of course, the ever-present iHeartRadio app. Got a lot to get to in the last couple of hours of the show, but we're going to start with the world of homelessness. Isn't that nice? Well, of course, there's a faction, and it mostly is controlling politicians in the city and the state, who believe in housing first. And not only that, they believe that where the homeless stand or squat or sleep or lie is where they should be housed, regardless of where they, quote, fell into homelessness. So we have this city-owned parking lot in West Los Angeles that council member Katie Yaroslavsky wants to convert into interim housing. The property is at 2377 Midvale Avenue, which is a corner lot at the intersection with Pico Boulevard and, of course, the old West Side Pavilion. It's no longer a mall. We know what happened to malls. But anyway, there are people who live in the neighborhood who are vehemently against this plan. The last time we visited this story, there was some sort of community meeting. And boy, did they let Yaroslavsky know. And I think Bass was there, too. They got booed. People were yelling recall. The organization we're going to talk about now is StopMidvalePico.org. Natalie Meinhardt is going to be my guest here to talk about this plan for housing the homeless in this neighborhood of West Los Angeles. And on top of that, a development concerning an ethics commission investigation. Let's bring on Natalie. Welcome to the John and Ken Show.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate you having me.
Anything you want to add to my opening there about what's going on?
Well, you do have it pretty much correct. The city is using our tax dollars to build, like you said, an interim homeless shelter in the heart of a residential single-family neighborhood and close to local businesses. and they've made it abundantly clear that this will be a low barrier entry shelter, which means that violent offenders, people with drug addiction issues, and pretty much people from all walks of life will be sheltered next to young children, next to local businesses, next to the elderly, and a huge parking lot, which is extremely crucial to the local businesses nearby, will be eliminated.
It's about, what is it, 40 or so they're supposed to be housing there? Is that what you hear?
They're supposed to be housing about 34 residents at any given time. Again, these residents are from all walks of life, and there will be no curfew. There will be no drug testing. The residents are free to go and come as they please. So you can imagine what they may want to be doing all day, wandering the streets, the local neighborhood, and there will only be one unarmed guard to support these 34 residents who has, and this person has zero jurisdiction once a resident leaves the facility. So if he is, just happens to step right outside and commit a crime, this one unarmed guard has zero jurisdiction. He'd have to call the police, and we all know that police is at its all-time low.
Do we know what this housing is supposed to look like in terms of the structure that they're putting these 34 people in? Is it one building? Is it a bunch of little houses? Do we know?
Yes, we do. It will be 30, I believe, 8x8 plastic huts that will just be placed on the property, essentially. And they're meant to last for at least 10 years, which is what the project is set to last for.
Oh, that's interim, 10 years, huh?
Right. At least 10 years, yeah.
Right, because the belief is it'll turn over. We'll get these people into permanent housing, but there'll be other homeless people we'll have to put in there on a short-term basis. This is the crap that they always sell everybody. Well, let's talk about one of the other things that your organization has put out in a press release. Again, this is...
Hello?
There's an ethics investigation, a complaint that apparently one of her staffers, his name is Zachary Warma. He's her Council District Housing and Homelessness Policy Director. Tell us exactly what was found out about this person.
Yes, so we've submitted a number of public records requests to the city. We've received responses from them, and in those responses, we've discovered that there have been several people involved in using a vendor named, and the vendor's name is LA Family Housing. They have a proven track record of complete failure. If you look at their North Hollywood project, the residents there will tell you that they've completely destroyed the neighborhood. There have been stabbings in the street. There have been drive-bys, people shooting up in between their toes on the streets. And so Yaroslavsky's office is trying to use LA Family Housing to also run this project. Now, they hired LA Family Housing without participating in any sort of competitive bidding process. And again, this is a 10-year, multi-million dollar project. And how did that happen? So we started digging into these documents. We discovered that as of October 2022, Zachary Warma, who was the associate director of policy for LA Family Housing, that's less than a year ago, he is now CD5's housing and homelessness policy director.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
So he slid from Los Angeles Family Housing into Yaroslavsky's office as her housing and homelessness policy director. But what do you know? His old organization got this no-bid contract.
Right. And he was responsible for initiating the Midvale Prequel project. He was involved in steering the contract to his former employer, LA Family Housing. And you'll see that he was involved in virtually every single meeting in the project. Now, this is in direct violation of ethics laws.
Yes.
It's a conflict of interest, of course. And so we want to get down to the bottom of this. How did this happen and why did it happen?
There's supposed to be, what, a 12-month period after you leave an organization like that before you can get involved in this kind of contracting? Is
correct.
That what the rules state, 12 months?
That's
and he
correct.
Wasn't gone 12 months because this, when was this award made? Was it July or this year, some couple of months ago?
We don't know exactly when the award was made, but we know that he started discussing this matter in as early as February of this year, and he left LA Family Housing, we believe, in October of 2022, so just a few months later.
Yeah. No, Natalie, I don't know if you listen to this show on any regular basis, but we call it the homeless industrial complex. It's kind of this big spending machine that occurs, right? They used to call it the military industrial complex, but we've nicknamed it homeless because billions are spent and it's money that just circulates between politicians and these nonprofits and all their connected personnel that move back and forth between these jobs. And it seems to be the case exactly in what you guys have uncovered with this Zachary Worma. He used to be with Los Angeles Family Housing up until last October. He comes over, he joins her staff, Katie Yaroslavsky's staff, as her housing and homelessness policy director. And what do you know? A contract, no bid, goes out to this Los Angeles Family Housing 10-year. And you guys have said it's multi-million. Do you know the exact number on this contract?
We don't know the exact number, but we do know that it's a multi-million dollar project.
And they will not only, they're going to manage this 34-person plastic house thing? Is that what they're supposed to do?
Correct. They're supposed to manage it and provide support services to the various residents.
So what happens with a complaint like this? Do you know? It just says now LA City Ethics Commission will investigate Katie Yaroslavsky.
Right. All we know is that they will investigate and they'll come to some sort of determination. The investigation is kept confidential for the time being, but there has been a complaint initiated, and that's where we are now.
All right. Well, thank you very much for talking to me, and keep up the big fight. We would appreciate hearing from you and your organization.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you very much. We will.
All right, that's Natalie Meinhardt. She's with StopMidvalePico.org. This story popped up a couple of months ago, where it was announced by another horrible council member, Katie Yaroslavsky, that she wants to house the homeless right there in a West Los Angeles neighborhood, not far from the West Side Pavilion, if you know the area of Midvale and Pico. Going to put up this, it's a city-owned parking lot. So they want to put up 34, as Natalie described it, little plastic houses, put homeless people in there. And we know what happens in these other sites, like in Venice, that because there's services associated with it, that does invite other people to camp around that, because now they realize there's something going on here that could benefit them. So, you know, you think you're solving the problem, Katie Yaroslavsky, you're probably compounding it. In what is, and I've been there many times, I used to go to the movies there in the West Side Pavilion, and I didn't live far from there when I lived near UCLA years ago, and it's a very, very nice neighborhood. So we'll continue to cover their fight over this. And as we just mentioned, it's the homeless industrial complex, because a staffer for Katie Yaroslavsky, who just happens to be in charge of her housing and homelessness, used to work for one of these nonprofits, the Los Angeles Family Housing. And they just got the big contract to manage this 34-person homeless site in West L.A. More coming up on the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere. It's the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
John's got some time off. I'm here with Deborah Mark updating you on the news. We'll talk about some bills making their way through Sacramento. Again, this is a busy week in the state legislature, and it's mostly not good news. Some of them are bizarre. Some of them are clearly shouldn't see the light of day, but we'll talk about it. We'll also talk about the little pickle that Gavin Newsom's in when it comes to racial identity politics. It's all coming up after the news at 2:30. We're just talking about homelessness in LA, of course. And on the West Side, the plans by a council member named Katie Yaroslavsky to put up a homeless encampment, little plastic houses, near the West Side Pavilion in a nice neighborhood there in West Los Angeles that the people are protesting. And they did discover in doing some of their digging that, of course, her homeless and housing director just came over from a nonprofit that got the contract to put together this site, multi-million dollar, 10-year contract. So you can see how it works, the incestuousness, the back and forth, and the complete horror of the homeless industrial complex. A story we covered a couple of years ago, and I'm going to try to make you feel a bit better by going somewhere else where they have these problems, Austin, Texas. And I believe we had a guest on the air. 3 years ago, Austin City Council ended a 23-year-old ban on public camping to try to decriminalize homelessness. Well, a group called Austin Now gathered enough signatures to put a camping ban on the ballot, and it was approved, 57% to 42%. Not long after that, Proposition B made lying down or camping on public property a misdemeanor punishable by a fine of up to $500. Where are we now, more than a year or two later? It's still pretty ugly in Austin. From what I'm reading, they're complaining that there's nowhere for these people to go. So even though they're enforcing the camping ban, people just go somewhere else and put their stuff down until they're told to move again. And they just so here's a story. An activist by the name of Jamie Hammonds. You'll hear him narrating this video. He's walking through Austin, Texas, West Bolden Creek Greenbelt, which apparently was once a very lovely place for people to recreate, and now it is just overwhelmed with homeless people. Let's listen in.
Bolden Creek Greenbelt. Look at this place, man. If this doesn't change your mind about how we go about the homelessness issue, nothing will. This was one of the more beautiful green belts in Austin. And look at it. Jesus. Fires, liquor bottles, needles, Narcan, junk, just stuff everywhere. As far as I can see, Bolden Creek Greenbelt has just been completely demolished. I just saw a squirrel out here eating a piece of plastic. As far as you can see, it's just been destroyed. It's going to be interesting to see if the city can actually clean this. This is bad. This is almost as bad as the Violet Crown. It just keeps going and going. Look at this mess. It just keeps going and going. All right, we are out here on the Bolden Creek Greenbelt. This is the creek here. There are nice no trespassing, but this whole greenbelt is full of these camps. And apparently the city is out here currently. They're about to start cleaning these out. But that has been the case for about a month now, and this is all still here. About 75 people have been moved from here into shelter. So we'll keep tabs on it. But this is what your Bolden Creek Greenbelt looks like today.
Nice. That is, again, an Austin activist by the name of Jamie Hammonds, who made this video, which has gone viral. It reminds me of the Santa Ana riverbed story we covered a couple of years back. It's like a trail and a walking area, wooded, and there's just so much, as far as the eye can see, of homeless encampment junk with tarps and all sorts of garbage and, of course, scattered about are needles and everything else that the homeless hoard. And again, my point with this is the same as I always said. You have to enforce to get people to get their lives together. Pampering people and saying, oh, it's too expensive for you to buy a home, so we'll let you camp until we can find you and take care of you for the rest of your life with permanent supportive housing. That's not the way it works in this country. Maybe one of those little tender socialist countries will treat you that way. But in this country, a lot of self-responsibility is required. And for many years, long gone now, apparently, people found a way to cope, even if it meant sleeping on a friend's or a relative's couch for a while until you can get your act together and get a better job and make a little more money and move to a place where you can afford the housing. It's that simple. And then, of course, the other part is stay off the drugs. And if you have a mental illness, get some type of treatment. All that's out the window now with this pampering philosophy that we have to solve everybody's problems because it's really just about housing. It's not. It's about everybody has a relative like this, right? A leech. Somebody that just doesn't want to get up and work, right? Somebody would rather just be a layabout, just kind of hanging around and mooching off the system, whether it's you or the government or whatever. Now we have large collections of these in all the major cities. And until we really get to kicking butt and telling people you got to get your act together, we're not doing everything for you, there's going to be no end to this. All right, more coming up. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, he's not going down without a fight. We're talking about MRT, Mark Ridley Thomas. Of course, the longtime Southern California political hack. He was in the city council, in the state legislature, the county board of supervisors. Anyway, he was found guilty and sentenced to over 3 years in prison. This would be a federal case, and he's supposed to turn himself in next month, either November, I think, November 13th. But he, hopefully, he's not going to have to, he thinks, because he's appealing to the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. What happened in the case was they did appeal to the judge who oversaw the trial, and he turned aside their appeal. So they have to go further, and now they're going to go to the Ninth Circuit. We'll talk about it with defense attorney Lou Shapiro after the news at 3 o'clock. What are MRT's chances? And, of course, what he's also trying to do is delay his reporting for prison. He would probably like a decision that would allow him to stay out of prison until this appeals process resolves. So we'll find out those prospects. Coming up next hour on the John and Ken Show. Meanwhile, up in Sacramento, we told you that the Friday is it. They'll finish their session Friday and be gone for a couple of months. So they're pushing all these bills through with a thumbs up or a thumbs down to turn them over to dippity-doo Gavin Newsom. The one we're watching for, and we don't have any word yet, is the one, of course, that would make it a serious offense to traffic minors for sexual purposes. Been following that story with State Senator Shannon Grove for some time now after it got turned down by the Assembly Public Safety Committee, but came back around and apparently has the support of Democrats and Republicans in Sacramento. So we expect that bill to get passed, but it may take until the final day. Some things that happened today, and of course, this one gets a lot of headlines. Skittles are banned. yeah, what they did was they had a bill up in Sacramento that apparently some of the ingredients in candy like Skittles are toxic. Toxic food additives. That's what's in the bill. It isn't the bill to ban Skittles, but if Skittles has that ingredients, they're going to have to change the recipe. The California Food Safety Act, the first of its kind in the country, would ban the manufacture, sale, or distribution of brominated vegetable oil, potassium bromate, and something called propylparaben, and red dye number 3. So if the people that make products that have those ingredients are going to have to change. I think they did this in Europe with the Skittles, and maybe they changed the recipe, but honestly, I have to ask the same question. How much would you have to ingest of Skittles for it to become a serious cancer problem?
Yeah, but find another candy then that doesn't have those ingredients. I mean, do you really love Skittles that much?
Yes. But anything you eat, Deborah, is probably going to have something, except you eat your raw vegetables, but you could end up with all sorts of bacteria. But anyway, a lot of things that we ingest in small amounts probably would not be good for the body. But over the long run, they're not likely to kill you. I don't know why you have to go after particular ingredients that are in small amounts.
Just because the off chance. I mean, look, there's just...
The off chance.
Yeah.
Knock it off, Deborah.
Hey, look.
It's Skittles.
It doesn't. Okay, who cares? I don't care if it's carrots, then I wouldn't eat them. Right. I find something else.
If they can change the formula so the Skittles taste the same and keep them on the market, this bill won't take effect until January 1st of 2027, if Newsom signs it. So we'll see what the makers of this particular candy do. But
yeah, 4 years to just get as many Skittles as you want.
You know, do you still go into buildings, Deborah, where you see that sign that warns you that the buildings may have toxic chemicals?
Yes.
Yeah, that's nonsense. All right, that this is what California is, the nanny state. That's what they're known for. They really, if anything's bad for your health, we'll find a way to ban it or at least to notify the public about it. But I really think the odds of you dying from ingesting Skittles with this ingredient, even if you ate several packs a day, would probably be minimal.
You're probably right. But again, I'm just talking about me. I would just find a different candy that just doesn't have those ingredients. I mean, there's so many kinds.
Well, we're going to find out that there's something in M&M's that's no good. And then what's after that, right? Don't they use some of those red dyes to make those red M&M's or something like that?
So then they won't make red M&M's anymore.
What happened if they found some chemical in avocados?
I just said, if it was in carrots, I wouldn't eat carrots. If avocados suddenly became a cancer-causing situation, I would not eat avocados. I would live. I would find something else.
The problem, Eric, is pretty much with processed foods. Those are the ones that come from the factories, you know, and the assembly lines. That's really, I mean, the chances of us suddenly finding out there's something in avocados growing on a tree.
I mean, I don't eat saccharin. I don't use saccharin because of, you know, all those years ago, they said that there was that chance of saccharin causing cancer.
Which is a good point. But here, tell me, what's the death toll from saccharin? Do you have a number?
I do not. I would have to Google that and do some research.
Death by saccharin was on the certificate of the guy that died in the morgue. See, that's what I also wonder. Again, they used to say you'd have to drink a lot of diet soda with saccharin for it to probably cause you cancer over a lifetime. So another bill that apparently is going to be sent to Gavin Newsom is, this one's funny, 7 years ago, the legislature decided to take a stand. They passed a law forbidding the state from spending money on travel to states with what they described as anti-LGBTQ+ laws. Well, they're going to repeal it because it was really, really dumb. And it turns out that more than half the states would qualify as being states that have these kinds of rules and laws. So it got to be ridiculous, especially when it comes to the student athletes and some other professional professors who had to travel to other states. They realized that this was stupid. Oh, yeah. It says here, the number of states that California would not fund travel to has grown immensely. It now stands at 26. So they've decided that this is a silly thing to do. And finally, they have a bill that mandates that human beings have to be behind the wheel of driverless trucks. I guess this is common sense for most people as we head to the future of self-driving vehicles. do you really want to see a large big rig on the road that's being driven by robotics? Probably not. So this bill mandates that human drivers have to be behind the wheel of autonomous trucks. But, you know, anybody that has a Tesla knows there's a way you can trick the thing into making you believe that there's a human either behind the wheel with their hands on the wheel. But this way truckers can, you know, they can drive all night, but they can sit in the passenger seat and take a nap and figure out a way to keep their hands on the wheel. But it passed overwhelmingly, and Newsom's expected to sign it. When we come back, we're going to talk about Newsom. He's in a bit of a pickle. We're going to play you a clip again from Meet the Press. This is the problem you get into when a lot of what you do politically revolves around racial identity politics. And it all has to do with old Dianne Feinstein's Senate seat. But the other issue that's coming up, of course, I had mentioned yesterday, is the idea of giving out cash money as slave reparations. It's coming up next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
I just downed a whole bag of Skittles, Deborah Marcus. Oh, delicious.
Yeah? And how you feeling, Ken? You okay?
Oh, I think I have cancer. Oh, my God.
You need to go to the ER?
Oh, my God. Skittles will kill us all if we eat 10,000 bags a day.
Well, yeah. Yes.
They're saving us in Sacramento from the evil of Skittles and some of their ingredients. Kill us.
Well, if you ate thousands and thousands a day, you would die, I think, from something that had to do with, yeah, exactly, sugar or carbs.
Instant diabetic attack is probably what would happen. But anyway, coming up after 3 o'clock, my guest will be defense attorney Lou Shapiro to talk about Mark Ridley Thomas. The gambit here is just to put off having to report for prison in November. So he's appealing to the Ninth Circuit, the conviction, and the decisions made by a judge in the case against Mark Ridley Thomas for corruption concerning the School of Social Work at USC. So we'll talk about that. Also, we're keeping an eye on Sacramento next hour, too. There's another thing that's going through the legislature, which deals with your electricity bill. In the future, you'll pay for your usage, plus you'll pay a fixed fee based on your income. Ridiculous. Imagine everything in life that you buy could be based, the price would be based on your income. Is that the direction we're heading? I mean, they can control, you know, these quasi-government agencies concerning electricity, but just imagine if they were able to copy this to all sorts of aspects of life. You fill up the car with gasoline. Well, how much do you make? All right, well, that's your price. You make a lot? Yeah, you're going to have to pay a lot more per gallon. Anyway, we'll talk about all this with a state senator by the name of Brian Jones in the 3 o'clock hour. Now we move over to Dippity-Doo. Gavin Newsom. We're going to play you a clip from Meet the Press. We didn't get to this yesterday. It's sort of inside politics, but I want to use it to make a point about the trap you run into with, quote, racial identity politics. It all concerns Dianne Feinstein's Senate seat. Let's say, and she's got another year and several months to go before her term is up, she doesn't make it to the finish line, and she has to be replaced. Well, Newsom is the one that names her replacement. Now, is he going to name somebody that'll have the inside seat for next year's election? Or will he just name a caretaker so he doesn't get involved in the primary politics? There's a three-way race going on the Democrat side to be Feinstein's replacement in the U.S. Senate. It's quite a troika. But anyway, it's Barbara Lee, a congresswoman from the Bay Area. It's Adam Schiff, of course, the congressman from Southern California. And then Katie Porter, the congresswoman from Orange County. So here's what happened when Chuck Todd and Gavin Newsom talked about this.
The senior senator here has her daughter apparently has power of attorney. She, as an elected official, has power of attorney over 40 million people's representation in Washington, D.C. Why should she still be serving as a senator?
Well, I leave it to her. I told you I'm the most subjective human being in the world on this topic. I have no objectivity whatsoever. I've known Dianne Feinstein since I was a kid. I interned with her in college. Still have a signed book from my days when she was mayor. So,
more like family.
Yeah. I'm the last person to ask.
It's been sad to watch.
Yeah.
Look, this is somebody whose obituary, legacy is I think I fear people are
get to the real question
because of what we're watching at the end.
But I'll tell you, I mean, it wasn't that long ago where she would call me up, read me the Riot Act on issues related to forest management, vegetation management, what we're doing in the Central Valley on drought and water issues. Again, that wasn't the black and white movie days. That was not too long ago. Her staff is still extraordinarily active. And we wish her only the best. Her term expires. She's not running for re-election. So, this time next year will be in a very different place.
Fair? Do you feel as if the staff is fulfilling, can do the duties?
Yes. I don't think it. I know it. We're working extraordinarily closely together.
You don't feel as if the state's losing out by not having a more active voice?
Maybe missing town halls or more active. But, Senator Padilla was just in the office a few days ago. We were comparing and contrasting issues and advocacy, and we're aligned with Feinstein and her office.
Sounds like you hope you don't have to make another appointment.
No, I don't want to make another appointment. I don't think the people of California want me to make another appointment.
Because you'd end up appointing both seats. Yeah,
no, and I don't think that's, that said, it's my job. It's my responsibility. If we have to do it, we'll do it.
You're going to abide by your pledge?
Yeah. Interim appointment. I don't want to get involved in the primary.
So no, you would not appoint anybody that is filed for this race?
It would be completely unfair to the Democrats that have worked their tail off. That primary is just a matter of months away. I don't want to tip the balance of that.
But you're going to abide by, it would be essentially a caretaker, an African-American woman.
We hope we never have to make this decision.
Yeah, but I don't want to answer that.
I abide by what I've said very publicly on a consistent basis, yes.
So here's what's really going on. He did make a pledge, because this is racial identity politics, that it's going to be a black woman. Should Dianne Feinstein resign her seat, I will appoint a black woman. All right, so there's a black woman running for Senate for that seat. It's Barbara Lee. Here's the problem. Nancy Pelosi is related by marriage to Gavin Newsom, and Nancy Pelosi is a big Adam Schiff fan. If he appoints Barbara Lee to the seat, come next year, let's say it happens in the next month or two, when people start voting, they're going to see Senator Barbara Lee. That's going to give her an inside track and an advantage. She's actually behind in the polls over Adam Schiff and Katie Porter. That's why he doesn't want to do this, because Pelosi likes Schiff and he's close to Pelosi. So, Barbara Lee had a response to this. The idea that a black woman should be appointed only as a caretaker to check a box, some sort of a presentation, a participation trophy, she's not happy. Because really, and again, this goes to inside politics, she would like to have had the interim appointment. It looks good when you appear on the primary ballot. You've already got the title of U.S. Senator. The other problem for Newsom when it comes to racial identity politics, of course, I mentioned yesterday, is the idea of cash reparations because of slavery. A huge, overwhelming number of Californians do not like that idea. But because he assigned this task force to look into this reparations back in 2020, and this was one of their big conclusions, and let's not avoid it, it's a big one up there, is money, because they calculated exact amounts for people to receive from the state of California. He's in another box on that one. So there you go. If your life is committed to racial identity politics, sometimes you get boxed in. All right, coming up next, we'll talk about Mark Ridley Thomas, the longtime Southern California politician who's expected or supposed to report to prison in November. Will that happen? He's appealing. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app. Deborah Mark in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.